With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Wildfire smoke caused significant problems with air quality in Wisconsin earlier this summer. The Natural Resources Board will be getting an in-depth report on the concern. PM2.5 refers to fine particulate matter suspended in the air. DNR Secretary Karen Yun recently talked with the Natural Resources Board about the readings picked up by the state's 15 PM2.5 monitors.
13 recorded the highest values in over 20 years, and the daily average concentration of PM2.5 on July 16th reached the hazardous air quality index level at 10 of the 15 monitors, so really significant.
Hazardous is the most severe of six air quality levels. At that level, everyone is likely to be affected by exposure. Yun talked about the DNR's response.
Our air management program issued air quality advisories, coordinated with the National Weather Service, local media outlets, and DHS to share information on the event and coordinate messaging on health impacts. Representatives from forestry, air management, the Office of Communications are going to join the September board meeting to share an informational presentation about what caused this event to be so severe, the 2026 wildfire season, and the importance of collaboration and partnership as we respond and communicate with the public throughout these increasingly frequent and disruptive events.
The next Natural Resources Board meeting is September 23rd. This year, smoke from fires in the Boundary Waters area of Minnesota was a big part of the problem. Smoke from Canada and the western U.S. has also drifted into Wisconsin in recent summers, causing air quality concerns. Enbridge estimates about 31,000 barrels of propane and butane vaporized because of a leak in the Line 5 pipeline near Saxon and Iron County. Another 2,000 barrels of liquid product were believed to be in the excavation site as of Saturday evening. The leak occurred when a parked, unoccupied semi rolled into an open excavation at a Line 5 valve project. The truck struck the pipe and released natural gas liquids. Enbridge says it will use trailer-mounted flare stacks to burn away hydrocarbon vapors in a controlled way. Enbridge started using those flare stacks on Sunday. A half-mile evacuation zone around the site remains in place. The Iron County Sheriff's Office has issued a no-fly zone over the site. Line 5 remains shut down, with the damaged section isolated. Enbridge hopes to get the pipeline back into service by September 5th. The company says air monitoring shows safe air quality where crews are working and in the surrounding area. A man died after a boating accident in Vilas County. Two men went into the water when a boat capsized on Sumac Lake in the town of Arborvitae. A resident called for help around 2:30 Sunday afternoon. He said one man was bobbing up and down holding a paddle. The second man swam to shore and said the man in the water was in distress. A person on the shore rescued the 75-year-old man from the water. He was talking to medical personnel when they arrived, but had an unknown medical event and became unresponsive. The man was taken to a nearby hospital where life-saving measures were continued, but ultimately he died. The Wisconsin DNR will handle the investigation. A number of agencies helped at the scene. Eagle River's downtown commercial district will be seeing construction starting today. Four alleys and a parking lot are to be reconstructed. That work will be done in phases. Work on two alleys begins today, with the others planned late this month or in early October. There will be temporary restrictions on access to the alleys throughout the project. Parking and deliveries may be limited or unavailable. Detours and temporary changes to traffic routes are also expected as the project moves forward. Businesses and property owners in the affected areas are encouraged to make alternate arrangements for deliveries, parking, dumpsters, and garbage collection as necessary. A new report from the After School Alliance finds 97% of Wisconsin parents with kids in after school programs say the activity includes a science, technology, engineering, and math component, but too many kids still miss out. Suzanne Potter has more.
The parent survey called After School STEM Takes Off shows that Badger State programs have come a long way since 2014, when only 47% offered STEM content. Despite that, Randy Neve with the Wisconsin Out of School Time Alliance says 4 out of 5 parents who want an after school option haven't enrolled their child.
There's some programs that are not available in certain areas. There are programs that parents can't afford. And then there are programs that don't offer transportation. There's a lot of issues.
Neve says after-school STEM programs cost parents around $250 to $300 a month, and summer camps run you around $600. Many programs are subsidized by federal funds and philanthropy, but the state of Wisconsin's last budget included no money for after-school programs. Next spring, after-school advocates will work with the state legislature to advocate for after-school funding in the biannual budget, especially to fund programs in small rural areas. Jody Grant, executive director at After School Alliance, says STEM learning outside the classroom can be really inventive and engaging.
Using coding and designing an app to remedy a social problem, it's having a team robotics competition, it's designing a BMX biking track where, you know, there's all sorts of jumps and tricks.
The survey also found that nationwide, 90% of parents with children in an after-school program report that it offers STEM programming, compared to nearly 70% 10 years ago. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Suzanne Potter.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.